The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, Mary sent out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child in her womb leapt for joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown the strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. So before I begin my sermon, I just want to point out to you, you just heard two versions, two different translations of the Song of Mary, which we refer to as the Magnificat. And I have to say that the one we sang, I can't remember if it actually had this phrase in it. We said it at the 8 o'clock, and I was just struck by the difference it made for me. So in the Magnificat, in the Gospel, it talked about the thoughts of our hearts. In the older version and translation of it, it called it the imagination of our heart. And as I said at 8 o'clock, I could hear Mary saying that, using the imagination of her heart in this song. And so I just lift that up for you, those differences. Just a little bit of a difference in a translation can make such a huge difference. And I loved the imaginations of our hearts. So with that in mind, I want to tell you a story. In 1989, on a small town main street in mid-coast Maine that my son and I had crossed hundreds of times in his then 10-year-old life, a miracle happened. As we started across the street, my son reached out and slipped his hand into my hand. And in that instance, everything else blurred around me as I recognized, as positively as I can, that that might be the last time he ever actually did that, held my hand as we crossed a street. I hadn't asked him to do it. He'd been taught to do it, actually, when he was just a little boy, and he wanted to walk across the street, not be carried. And then when he was 8 or 9, he told me that he thought that holding his mother's hand was just for babies. So we agreed that he would simply walk beside me, and as long as he did that, I was good. And then I also taught him to cross streets by himself. But as I walked across the street that miraculous day, I actually savored every single moment of the warmth of his hand in mine, and I remember it as if it was just yesterday. He's now almost 30. At the other side of the street, he dropped my hand as usual and bounded onto the sidewalk. I know he didn't even know what had just happened. He didn't even know that he'd held his mother's hand across the street. But for me, the true miracle of that day was, in that moment, my acceptance of both his boyhood and his coming manhood, and the letting go I would have to do with this child of mine. And I recognized that also that he would always have all the things I had taught him. They would come naturally in any given moment that he needed to them, even if he wasn't aware. Such a blessing in that moment for me. And just so that you know, this child, who you probably will meet someday while I'm here, was not this perfect child. When he was a teenager, yeah, every single gray hair, that was from my son. Ellen didn't help with the gray hairs until she got to college. But that hand, remembering that hand in mine. Today, I think, is a day for holding hands. We hear this story of Mary and Elizabeth. And I wondered this week whether Mary and Elizabeth held memories of holding their son's hands and doing all the normal things that we do with our children. I hope that all of our sons and daughters have a little Jesus and John in them, the goodness and truth-telling of these two cousins. We all need to dig in deeper to those qualities in our own souls and share them with others we meet along the way. And I hope all of our daughters and sons have a little Mary and Elizabeth in them as well, the courage and the truth-telling of these two revolutionary women. I know we've just sung hymns where we talked about them being meek and mild and lowly and all those words, but I have to tell you, these were two revolutionary, strong women. And we all need to dig deeper into finding our courageous voices that sing and speak truth to the powers of the world that have forgotten about the humanity that rests in all of us, especially the lowly, the hungry, the immigrants, the poor, because they bless us more than we bless them. Today is about holding hands, not just with those we love, but also with strangers. These two prophetic women came together this morning to hold hands, to reach out to each other in ways that they would reach out to all kinds of people and strangers in their lives. But for this 3 months they were together, it was about telling each other the truth, their worries and concerns, making plans of ways that they will support each other during the coming years and support each other's sons as well, using every possible moment to teach them as they recognize the enormity of the letting go of each of these young men as they grow into manhood. Today is about the hope that springs to life when you are holding someone else's hand. I'm sure that each one of you have had that experience where you've held somebody's hand and somehow you are more of who you are in that moment than ever before. Mary and Elizabeth knew at some deep level, not just from the words of angels, but from the depths of their learned faith that fed their souls, that these two babies' lives would not be ordinary, and therefore neither would their lives. In their moment of meeting and reaching out for each other's hands, they did not know everything that would happen in the future, but they believed in God's promises and perhaps remembered passages of scripture that they would go back to, find, and ponder over that would give them renewed strength over the years. And hope filled their hearts. And it came together side by side with the anxiousness that greets every first-time mother. Hope is the companion of possibility. It creates resiliency. Resiliency over time and increases the ability of our imaginations to take us places and do things that we never thought we would do. It releases our grip on the past, that we might walk into a joyous future because of the truth we find right here in this moment. This moment, right here today. Just the way Elizabeth and Mary found it in that moment thousands of years ago. This one moment is a time to hold hands. This one moment is a time to anticipate in a way that only Mary and Elizabeth can offer us. We are 2 days away from the birth of our Christ. Imagine if we were there and we were anticipating this birth as if for the very first time. Elizabeth's child, John, is well into his first year of life. And now it's Mary and Joseph's time to bring about a miracle. The words of Mary's first song, because I can't believe that it was the only song that she made up and said. I'm sure she sang lots of them. But this first song that we hear about was probably echoing in her head. Perhaps she has the music now completely memorized. It keeps her steady and hopeful, even in the face of people taunting her. It prepares her for the birth and also for their life after their son's birth. Today is a day to sing and hum and remember and hold hands. In my reading this week, I came across a piece written by John Paul Lederach, and I fell in love with the title he gave to it. It was called Advent Manifesto. I love that. There's real power in that. And then it said, colon, and does my soul still sing? And that question just followed me around this week. Does my soul still sing? What makes my soul sing these days? What makes your soul sing? I think that's a question to let follow around in this coming week, especially in these next 2 days. And it was in reading this article that I actually remembered the story of my son's hand, the long ago crossing of a street in Damariscotta, Maine. So I want to share just a bit of it with you, because this was the piece that gave me the image, the most inspiration from this article that I read. About the reality of what was about to take place in 2 days. Not just another Christmas, but the birth of something new. And it seems totally appropriate that I chose this based on the fact that we have had so much rain this weekend and it's been unseasonably warm, and then finally the sun comes out. So here's the piece I pulled out of this longer reading. He wrote, "Rain has this intriguing quality. Droplets fall as individuated little spheres. Once splashed, however, rain spreads and melds and flows. When mixed with the sudden appearance of the sun, it makes everything shine. Rain glistens to everything. Rain glistens to everything. Mediators and bridge builders spend a lot of time preparing to listen, but to my knowledge, nobody has trained us on how to glisten. And then he gives us his definition of to glisten. To be present, he says, with others in ways that help them shine into their deepest color, purpose, and wisdom. An example, Mary and Joseph glistened to the unexpected seed they carried toward the light of day. To glisten. We all have here today, in this moment, glistening power, full of grace and mercy, hope and charity, and so much love. So much love. You just look around this space. We have glistening power. Others around us have glistening power as well, the power to be present to us that helps us to shine into our deepest color, purpose, and wisdom. And I think of holding hands as an act of mutuality, in trusting in our humanity and all humanity as conceived by our Savior, Jesus Christ, at his birth. O come, Emmanuel, says the song. Emmanuel, God with us, every single day. It is the birth and rebirth of our glistening as the people of God that happens, that actually God promised to Abraham and Moses and the prophets, generation to generation, and God promised to Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah. And God promises to each of us in each and every day of our lives. But in 2 days, we will celebrate our ability to be glisteners in the world. In 2 days, you will be ready to receive the birth of Christ if you practice glistening for 2 days. So I would invite you to go forth today into this sunshine and glisten with what you have received here today, what you will receive here at this altar rail, and walk in to the imagination of your hearts when you wake up on Christmas morning. I promise you, and God promised you, it will glisten. Accept the warmth of another's hand and feel your own glistening power come to life. It will truly make you ready for the miracle of Christmas morning. Amen.